All right, with the filmmaking team of the award-winning film from Germany, we have Leopold, and we have who is the director, co-director, and we have Finn Oliver, who is the director. How do I pronounce the title of the film? I'm going to get it wrong, so I want you guys to say it for me.
It's called Flügge.
Flügge. What does that
Yeah. Oh,
mean?
it's quite good. It's complicated. So, Flügge is the word used to describe the state of young birds when they're kicked out of the nest by their mom
Okay.
and have to learn to fly in the few seconds that it takes them to fall out of the nest and hit the ground. So, in this short span of time, they have to flap their wings and find out how to fly. Otherwise, they'll chatter on the ground. And Mama Bird only kicks them out of the nest when she knows that they're ready to fly. And so then we call this in German the state Flüge werden or to become Flüge. At the same time, it's also used for young people as a saying, so to speak. So when kids become Flüge, they're ready to leave home and ready to leave the nest and go their own way in life. And additionally, in the word Flüge is the word Flug, which is the German word for flight. So, a lot of meanings in this one title about an aviation movie.
I love it. And basically that you start the film with your main character in 1914 Austria. So that period piece has a really interesting connotation to it because it's before the wars. It's a different time, right? Different kind of innocence, I guess, with these characters, because part of my friend's shit's gonna hit the fan in the next couple of years, right? So and it's about this coming of age story about this person who wants to be herself, right? Like it's a very common story. So she her you know it's about that father's daughter relationship that we all have. So it's basically what I'm saying, it's a fantastic film that you guys made, and it's a 25 minute short film. I'm assuming it's getting into mini festivals for you guys.
That's very nice
yeah
of you. Thank you. Yeah.
yeah
Thank you very much.
yeah it's really great. So this was done, okay, so this was not done, not a student project. It says yes, it's a student project, but it was done by students, but it wasn't done with your like curriculum. Tell us a story.
Finn, do you want to take this?
Yeah, I can take this. A lot of the filmmakers who were involved in the process of the movie were students, but we didn't do it as part of our curriculum, as you said. So it's a so you would call this student project, of course, but we did it while being students, but not as part of our curriculum.
Okay.
And so it's a complete independent project. And all of the people who were involved did this in their free time.
Gotcha. And so, so Leopold, you and Danny co-wrote the script.
That's right, yeah.
So, where does this idea come from with this person wanting this young girl wanting to fly, I guess?
Right. So my father's a pilot, hobby pilot. And when I was a young kid, he used to read me bedtime stories out of a book called The Great History of Early Aviation or something like that. And
Okay.
the book told the stories of the many early aviation pioneers breaking records, conquering unknown places on Earth and building aeroplanes themselves. And among these many aviators was one woman, Amelia Earhart. And I
Yep.
thought to myself, you know what? That's not bad. Amelia Earhart, one woman. We can work with that.
And you
Many
called her
years later,
Emily in the film. You're almost giving tribute to her, I guess, right?
yeah, that's a funny story. I'll tell you about that
Yeah.
right afterwards. But I found out that actually it wasn't just Amelia Earhart in early aviation. There were many, many dozen women way before Amelia Earhart, up to
Okay.
200 years before, building airplanes or other flying machines and filing patents, of which modern day aviation still profits, without whose inventions we wouldn't be able to live in this globalized world. And nobody knows about them, not even aviators, not even pilots, not even the son of a pilot knew about this. So I thought, okay, if this isn't even a topic in our small sub community, probably the greater society doesn't know about this either. So I said to Danny, this is a story we've got to develop. This is a setting which needs to where there needs to be more awareness for. And then we started thinking about, okay, what can we do with a female aviator in this sort of time? And then we settled on telling a coming of age story rather quickly because we wanted to do something which is universally applicable. So anybody can watch Flüge and hopefully enjoy it, regardless of if they're interested in aviation or not.
Yeah, well, it's a universal story, but it's like using aviation as kind of a message. All right, so great. It's like, is there, I'm sure you've been asked this before, but is there a feature script in here? Like, is there a bigger story?
Absolutely, yeah. Most people that watch the movie tell us it should be a feature,
Yeah.
so we're working on that currently. Yeah.
Well, because you got all the pieces together, all the pieces are there, right? So this is almost like a first act of a feature. It's got a beginning and middle and end story for sure, but it's almost like we want to see the next stage, I guess, right?
That's the dream, yeah.
That's the dream. Okay, so lots I want to tackle with you. So in terms of the location, so you filmed it in Austria?
So we had several shooting days in Austria, and this is where we shot the on-location scenes outside, of course, with the mountains and all of that, and also the plane in front of the mountains. So we were on an airfield in Austria, and almost everything which is inside, or the inside locations, were located in Germany. So, because most of the team was from Munich, and so it was a shorter drive for us.
Gotcha. And where did you find the kind of majestic kind of location? People, I guess I'm assuming people live there now still, right? And then where you guys shot it?
We shot it in 2023,
Yeah.
and of course, there are people living there. Everywhere in Austria, but we really, yeah, with the framing, we really try to just get in the natural parts, which could be from 100 years ago. We try to capture that, and also VFX did something regarding that, and yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, you can find a lot of the shots were possible because of the mountain setting. There aren't that much houses, and there are also a lot of
Yeah.
houses which look like
You're the
from
period. Yeah.
1914.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's
But
like this. Yeah, you look closely.
if
It's
you
not.
look
Yeah, gotcha.
if you look closely, there's one shot in the movie where there's a modern day umbrella. Standing
Okay.
around.
But nobody notices it because we're into your story. It's all good, right?
Yeah.
So like this is an American or North American kind of comment, but it had a sound and music vibe to it. So
it's the Salzburg Mountains. It's exactly there.
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's our reference point from that's the
Yeah.
American reference point to the Austria mountains, right? So yeah.
Sure.
I'm glad to hear that.
Okay, so tell me about so you got the location, this really nicely photographed, but tell me about obviously the actress who plays Emily. You could tell the story about why you named her that as well. Elena Frank, right? Fantastic. Obviously, she's in every scene. She's the key to your film in many ways. If she her performance isn't there, the film isn't there. So tell me where you found her.
Find you or?
Leopold, you can say.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're incredibly grateful for Elena because, as you say, she carries this entire movie.
Yeah.
We did an open casting call across many different casting networks in Germany, and in the first round, we had 160 applicants for the role, and so we whittled that down amongst the different rounds, and then we ended up doing live castings with six applicants, amongst who was Elena as well. And she still was interested in making our movie even after all of this whole casting ordeal, and
Yeah.
we're so grateful for that. And we really hope she'll make movies with us in the future as well, because I mean, her talent is obvious to anyone who sees the movie, and I'm sure she's got a great career ahead of her.
And you did the
Oh,
rest of
yes.
the casting like the same way, like the rest of the family and everything?
So for Levent and Alois, we also did an open call, and then the parents we contacted directly by other agencies.
So yeah, okay, so then tell, okay, so you co-directed with Danny, you guys co-wrote it. So tell me about the kind of like the setup. Like you have like really nicely photographed film, nice candles in the interior, like you're kind of setting up the period piece, but at the same time, it's a period piece. Like you said, you have the umbrella, but you have to make it authentic. It's like very difficult. So tell us about that process of authenticizing the interiors and making sure that everything, the cut from the costumes on down, kind of was realistic.
I mean, we just had the best team imaginable, really. I mean, Finn and I were incredibly passionate, or are incredibly passionate about this project. And that sort of translated into everyone, into Dani, into Jule, into Ines and Nick, and all of our key creatives. And then they sort of took that to their departments. And everyone was sort of infected by this passion, because nobody was earning money, right? Everybody was doing this in their free time after work and the weekends and so on. But because everybody felt the sort of energy and the snowball that this project had become, everyone was trying to do their very best in their unique department to make the world as authentic as possible. So, for example, in the costume area, we had two very talented costume designers, one designer and one assistant, who sewed many of the costumes themselves based on old designs from the period. Other costumes, which they didn't create, we got from very charitable collectors who lent us the costumes for, I think, a 3 or 4 month period. And then also a theater, how do you say fundus in English? Theater collections, I suppose, helped us as well. And so this is just the costume department, right? But this is really applicable for all of the art departments.
And where did you find, like, how did you guys get the airplane?
So we have two airplanes. One is the airplane of Levente. It's a replica of an original Pioneer airplane from, I think, 1908, Leopold, I guess, something around that. And
Not quite a
it's
bit
from
old because
a
it's a two-seater.
yeah, and it's from a collector, and he's living in Austria. And he actually has a collection of Pioneer airplanes, and this is one of them. And we got his contact and asked him if we could film it. And we were very lucky because he lives nearby an airfield. And actually, this was the airfield we could film. Yeah, so when Leopold sent me the script, I read, oh, we need an airplane in front of the mountain. In front of the mountains, and then yeah, I got the contact of the owner of the airplane, and then of course the question was where do we film that, and then he mentioned yeah, there's this airfield nearby, and then I looked it up in the internet, and then I saw it was a grass field with this huge mountain, and it looked amazing, and it was just perfect for our movie. And the second airplane actually is a kind of since it should look like a do-it-yourself airplane built
Yeah,
by
she
the
builds it.
character. Yeah, actually this was built by our team. So we had two builders from another city in Germany. And one who did the wood part and one who did like the metal part, and they built the collection of the airplane, and then our art team did all the decorations, kind of or not really decorations, like also functionality. So they did all that, and it was a huge teamwork to get this done.
So they actually flew, and he actually flew the plane as well.
No, so like the both of the airplanes cannot fly, or actually the one of the collector can fly, but
Yeah.
only since the registration is French, it can it's only possible for it to fly in France.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't possible for our movie, and we or our VFX supervisor Ines with her team, they did
Yeah.
like
In
some movie
post-production.
magic,
Yeah.
yeah, in order to
It
fly.
works. It does it real it's realistic. It's an amazing job that they
Absolutely.
did, right?
Yeah, it looks so amazing. Absolutely.
Did you see like how do they like without like getting in too much detail, was it a hard
Yeah.
process doing it?
So, like
Absolutely.
for,
Yeah. Okay.
absolutely.
Yeah.
So, we used a green screen and we
Yeah.
used also a 3D or two 3D models of the airplanes. And yeah, it's a lot of work because you need the backplate and the models and the lighting, the animation, and all of that. It took a lot of work.
So then we're
And
the animation was the most time consuming part because I mean then they had to model and texture the whole planes themselves and everything, right? But then they'd done that, and then I think we spent 2 or 3 months on animation per shot just to get the airplane feeling right, because they're sort of flimsy and a bit tipsy almost, the sort of pioneering airplanes, and you need to get that sort of feeling when you're watching them fly. So if they're very very commanding in the air, it doesn't feel right for these early airplanes.
So the one that you guys built the her airplane, the one that she builds in the film,
Yes.
can it actually fly?
No. Sadly not.
No.
Were people doing that back in the day? Like, were they building like airplanes? Like, can you do it? Like, can you build an
Yeah,
airplane realistically and
absolutely.
make it fly?
Absolutely. People were doing it all the time, or at least pioneers were doing it all the time back then.
Yeah.
I mean, the Blériot, which is Leventis' plane, was actually the first plane in history which was able to be mass produced. So he sold the blueprints, and then there were companies licensing out these blueprints and making 10 or 20 of them at a time. But before that plane, all of aviation were single prototypes, really, which people built in their own garages or workshops. Now, of course, it's a bit of a stretch to say she built it in the shed of her farmhouse in Austria, where you don't have any tools at all. But so that's the movie magic part of it. But yes, people were actually building planes by themselves, and you can still do that nowadays. There's a bunch of books on wooden aircraft construction. You can buy one of those books, and then you can build your own airplane if you have the time.
And so, yeah, I guess I guess if it's a feature too, you can get into more detail how she steals, like she had to steal these parts to get it done, right? I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
And yeah, it's fantastic. Like, yeah, like this is the beginning of aviation, right? This is this like think about like just 30 after the World War II, like 30 years later, like people are flying, like we all fly now. It's kind of amazing. It's like Yeah, it's like how this invention is only like 100 years old, right? And it's transformed our lives.
Absolutely.
So why did you call her Emily?
Right. So the first person in Germany to earn her pilot's license was called Meli Beese, but her real name was Amelie Beese. And she's the person that writes to our Amelie in the movie with the letter of the flight school and so on. So we wanted to pay tribute to her and call our character Amelie because of her, because nobody really knows her. But it has the very pleasant side effect of also paying tribute to Amelia Earhart.
Yeah. So people don't like Miliaire. They still haven't made a great movie about her, but I guess she's more famous because she disappeared, right? In the Bermuda Triangle, right? So.
And she knew how to play the marketing game to get financing for her expeditions as well. So she was very good at that. She was a very she was not only a talented aviator but also very talented at the whole public relations marketing game. And so that's why people know her, because she knew how to market herself as well.
So in terms of like 1914, like in the United States, women couldn't even vote, right? 1914. So what was the kind of like the sexism or like the female, like this is kind of crazy that this person is doing this, right? This film woman is doing this in 1914. So, but is it like, was it more progressive in Europe, like in terms of women's rights and women's, like, no?
I don't think so. In France, maybe the female aviators or the female
Just females in
aviation
general,
pioneers
because
in France.
this is part of the theme of your film, right? So.
Yeah, but so in France, the female aviators were also women's rights advocates who were at the same time flying and building airplanes and lobbying for the female right to vote. So this was very closely intertwined, and I think France was more progressive in general. Germany, not so much, and Austria as well. But there still were these pioneers who went through sabotage just to get their pilot's license. For example, Mellie Beese, who I just told you about, she had to earn her pilot's license at the break of dawn in the morning before all her other male flying students even arrived at the airstrip, because the few times that she tried to earn it in the afternoon before on her test flight, they took saws and saw her wings, so they had to break off, or like parts of the ailerons or whatever, right? So they sabotaged her. So then she woke up really early and got her flight instructor and said, "Okay, come on, let's do the flight test now before they all wake up." And then they landed again, and she had her pilot's license in hand before they even came to the airstrip. But this was the fourth or fifth flying school that she even applied to, because all the other ones just told her to get lost, and they didn't want a woman in the cockpit.
So the In terms of the dad character, like he's pretty mild in terms of, like, I'm sure that in terms of this time, like, a lot of fathers would just like put the daughter into her room and lock the door, right? Like, I'm talking about like where we were back in the day, but he's of course against what she's gonna do, but he's not like violently against her, right? Like he kind of understands he has perspective of who she is, I guess.
Yeah, that's correct. As we said, we wanted to make a universally applicable movie, and that's also the reason why we wanted to touch on father-daughter relationships as they might be observed nowadays. And it's also we needed this sort of father figure to even make it possible for our female protagonist to build an airplane at this time, because if he was a staunch conservative, we wouldn't have a movie.
So where you so you guys are both from Germany, correct? Born and raised. And what school did you guys
So,
go to?
yeah. Finn's born and raised in Germany. I'm
I
from
was born and
Singapore.
raised in Germany.
But you guys went to the same film school together. Is that how you guys met in film school?
Yeah, at uni. That's correct.
What's it called?
Kind
Like,
of.
what's this film school called?
So it's more of a normal technical university. It's called Hochschule Ansbach, HAS Ansbach, and we have one specialized course in film production management. But it's a dual study course. So I don't know if this concept exists in the US. I'd be interested in knowing that, but in Germany we call it dual study program. So you work and you study at the same time. So we're employed at a production company in Munich, and we work about 70%, and then we study 30% on the side almost.
I think there's some elements of that. I know that that's like, I know they used to be very more, one was much more prominent than it is now, but in terms of doing that, like the 50-50 or like the 70-30, as you said, but okay. So what's your guys' plan then? Are you guys both like trying to be filmmakers, trying to like be in the industry? Like, is that your guys' plan in life?
Absolutely, yeah. But do you want to take this,
Sure,
because I'm talking the entire time?
yeah, sure. We both founded a company together, and our plan is to produce more movies together. So we both were the producers of Flügge, and Leopold also writer and director, and I did the production management part. And as this combination worked very well, and we have the plan to do a lot of projects together. And also Leopold mentioned that, or you asked that. Currently, we are developing the feature film of Flügge, and our goal will be to do that or produce that, and then have it in cinemas or TV.
So how
You
is the
see.
like the independent German film scene in a general question, in a general sense?
You've got a lot of talent and not a lot of money, I'd say.
Well,
Yeah,
that's
but
every
well,
country, I guess, right? But yeah.
sure, yeah. And I think honestly we can't complain because there are funding opportunities in Germany. And I mean, of course, there's other countries where there are none at all, so we really shouldn't complain. And it's a great privilege to make movies. So the plan would be to apply for some sort of cultural funding, like film production grants,
Yeah.
and then to see if we can then convince a broadcast television channel and a distributor to get on board. And then, if we have a bit of cash, we can make it happen.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so is that the idea? Like this is gonna, like the second act's gonna begin when she flies off?
No, actually, we're going to make the feature film span the entire span the same dramaturgy as the short film,
Okay.
but we're going to take more time to develop the characters and to develop the daughter father conflict, because at
Okay.
the end of the day, we still want to tell this coming of age story,
Gotcha.
which basically has to end when she leaves the nest, right? And then afterwards, another story would begin. But this part of the story is what we're interested in telling in feature film length.
Yeah. Well, you guys did a great job at the ending. Like you said, obviously she's not flying, but like movie magic as you describe it. But it feels like she's flying, right? Like and this is dangerous too, right? This is not, you know what I mean? This is
Absolutely.
not for the faint of heart, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's
For sure.
absolute daredevil.
Yeah. It's 'cause I've been taking up with like funny enough, I've been taking up like flying a kite with like my kids, and I've never really done it before. And it's kind of the same kind of concept, right? With like getting the like obviously having good equipment. Good plane or a good kite, but like figuring out the right wind in relation, and things can fly, right?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah,
That's how they start,
it's simple science in a lot of ways, right? Yeah,
Yeah.
if you get a perfect day, then you can fly.
That's true.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I appreciate your time. I think like I said, this is a no-brainer acceptance to any festival that you get to. If you guys don't get an acceptance to a festival, you gotta let me know because it's crazy. But I see that's playing all, like it's playing all over Germany, right? It's played in India, played in Italy, it's obviously Toronto, Canada, United States. So in Poland, you guys are doing well.
Yeah, not it's
Yeah,
not that bad. We're
we're
quite happy.
very grateful for that. Yeah.
Yeah. But you want bigger, you want more, right?
I mean, one always wants more, right? But we really can't complain. We're quite glad.
And
Sure.
Danny's the co-director, so she's from Chile originally, right?
Yeah, so she's got a mixed background. And but she's also in Munich now. So this is where we all met.
Okay.
So about 80% of the team is from Munich.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you guys' time, and let's talk again. I want to see this film made, or I want to see what you guys do next. You're very meticulous with your process, and it's just a great story. So I appreciate your time.
Awesome. Thank you
Thank
so
you
much.
for
Thanks
your
for having
time.
us.
All right. Have a good one.